Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jack in the Box, thank you. Two tacos for 99 cents, 90. You got to be kidding me. And the tacos are good. Two tacos for 99 cents. Tell me there's something better than that.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Crossover time. Let's welcome in Willard and Dibs.
The fellas.
Yeah.
What's going on?
What's going on,
What's
fellas?
What's better than two tacos for 90? Well, no. Give me a better bargain, Willard.
It was good. And I heard your beer pitch.
Montucky.
You had me at Schmitty's because I haven't been to Schmitty's.
It's actually Schmitty's. I got it wrong.
Did you tell the story about how that used to be Don Nelson's post-game spot?
No.
You didn't tell that part of it. Because I was in the car and I had to run to Bart. And so I heard you talking about your beer deal. And I'm like, oh my God, Schmitty's. You and I, Steiny, once upon a time, pre-divorce, pre-second marriage, pre-baby, we had some times now in Schmitty's. There was the one bartendress who was the tall, blonde, I can't remember her name.
Remember.
I mean, you do.
No clue.
You better be
I'm already
careful.
Uncomfortable
if
with
you closed,
this is going.
If you closed your eyes, like, you remember me, you, and the big fella, and a certain local TV celebrity. We'd go on the occasional run at Schmitty's, and Mark, this is one of the few places where you can still legally or illegally smoke indoors. Like
that, yeah, you'd damn. Love it, Mark.
If that's, you want to fire a lung dart, fire one at Schmitty's.
This is the best advertisement I've ever heard. What's the address? I can't wait to be there.
Hi, I'm Dan Dibley. If you want to be indoor with people firing lung darts, go to Schmitty's.
I got
to
tell you, one of the most wonderful smells is when your clothes get that cigarette smoke on them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's just wonderful.
The best.
Isn't it?
You
wake up the next morning and you're like, no, I love it.
You're underselling it.
That's nasty.
It's not one article of clothing. It's when you get back from 3 days in Vegas and open up the suitcase. And it doesn't matter if you wore it or not. The whole thing smells like burnt chips.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Reminds me of my childhood. Shout out Sue Dibley. Rest in peace. Fire in the Pall Malls back in the day.
Wow.
And then I would look at the windows in our house, and I'd always say, Mom, why are they, like, all clouded over? I can barely see outside. Go to your room.
I love it. That's called secondhand smoke.
Yeah.
By the way, Mark, you probably know this off the top of your head. Giants payroll. 14th in the league. Does that sound about right?
I think it moved up when they got Devers.
174.
I thought they were sitting at about 11 or 10, but okay. I could be wrong.
Yeah, they got a long way to go. They got more spending to do.
I told you.
I don't ever worry about the Giants and money. I don't. The only thing I worried about with Giants and money as it was whether or not the ownership group was going to be willing to spend it, which is why – to me, the Devers deal was so significant because it showed the willingness to put some of their Mission Rock money onto the field, and so but yeah, they've got plenty of money.
We've taken three calls in the last hour. Oh, the Giants are rebuilding. You're not rebuilding. Help me.
Of course,
thank
not.
You, Dibs. I'm Willard.
Like, what is rebuilding? What does rebuilding look like? Rebuilding looks like in baseball. It looks like you take your high price guys at the deadline and you sell them and you get a bunch of 18 and 19 year olds and you get international money and the rest of it. They might have sold at the deadline and they did, but they added a very high price guy. Yeah, right. They signed their biggest free agent contract in history in the offseason. And you've got one more year of Logan and Robbie. Logan's here for longer, but Robbie Ray will be here. And yeah, you, when you get to this offseason, I would bet that they go out and they find another pitcher, a starter, who is $25 million a year and up. So you come back next year with Logan, Robbie in an expiring, and probably one more guy who's making that big money. They're going to go out and spend more money. They're not rebuilding.
I agree with the theory in general. I don't know about big money long-term starting pitchers.
I didn't say long-term.
Well, I mean,
you had Carlos Rodon, you had Kevin Gausman.
Yep.
These are guys. About Verlander, I'd like him back.
Well, that was. Yeah. Do you really? For age 44?
I think so.
I don't know. By the way, I guess there's two ways to look at payroll. There's total payroll, and then there's active payroll. They're 14th in total payroll. They're 8th in active payroll.
What's the difference?
Total payroll includes all of their allocations. In other words, that's money being spent, that's being blown into the wind. You know,
the answer is my friend.
Yeah, previous contracts that are no longer there, et cetera, et cetera. So it's actually a good thing to have your active payroll be lower than your total payroll, but depends on how you want to look at it. But yeah, they're 8th right now in terms of who they're paying on their actual active roster.
This all started because I told Stoney, and I believe it. I feel like the Giants are they're wasting Logan Webb's, you know, his best days. Like, you got to get it going. The fact that he's only got a couple playoff appearances, I don't think that's ludicrous. And a lot of people agree with me, but then we're getting the rebuilding. I'm like, what?
Well, I mean, define the word rebuilding.
Yeah, what Dibs just did, like, when your core.
I think the word choice doesn't really – do it for me. Like, I think they're building. That's what I think they're trying to do.
Retooling.
Aren't you always?
Yeah.
Are they trying to win?
But here's what
I think they're trying to win. They're just not doing a very good job of it.
This is just my thought. I think when Buster Posey took the job, I think he told him, we got a lot of work to do. Like, we got a lot of work to do here. And I think you could say that when he looked at last year's team, he saw one, like, legitimate major league veteran player that he wants on the team, Chapman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, other than that, it's like, okay, they have Bailey. All right, well, we can't get a better catcher right now. He's a young guy. We'll see what he's got. My point is, then he had a chance to get Adames. Gets him. Another upgrade. Then he gets Devers. But I feel like after he got Devers, there's no way Buster was like, we're pretty set. I think Buster Posey now looks at the roster and says, we may have to upgrade a catcher. Is second base good enough? Eldridge, we're going to have a runway for him next year. But what about, like, the whole outfield? Are we happy with Matos, Jung-Hoo Lee, and Ramos? Could we upgrade one of those and move Jung-Hoo Lee to a fourth? Like, that's the way I think he's gone about it.
I agree with you completely. Like, this is a year where he set the table with some things, but then is still in evaluation mode. I mean, if you look at the acquisitions that you just talked about and go back to Buster Posey's opening press conference where he said, I believe that running a baseball team is about making memories. Don't you feel already, forget the fact that they totally disappointed and they lost, I guess they could still end up 500, but whatever. They at least lost as many games as they've won and they missed the playoffs. But don't you already feel like you know the Giants better than you did the last 4 years? Last four years, you'd get to this point, you're like, I don't know. Like, who is the second baseman? Who is the first baseman? And there's multiple answers, and then you have to qualify it and explain what happens in the sixth inning, all these things. Now, what Buster's created is most of the positions on the field, you're like, that's our guy. Whether you like that person or not, that's different. And then you can upgrade from there. But I think what he wanted to do was establish the core of the team and then evaluate the rest. And I think that's what he did this year.
Schmidt's the second baseman of the future?
I mean,
what do you consider the future?
Yeah, he gets first
crack. The next 2-3 years.
He gets first crack if they don't. Unless they
start second baseman next year.
Sure.
All right, opening day.
Starting second baseman, he's not going to play 162. Yeah. Like, if you want to talk about your 162 guys, you've got Chapman, Adames, and Devers. End of list. Like, Elliot Ramos, he's probably 140 if he hits the way he hits.
Could he be in right field and you need a left fielder?
He might be. And Jung-Hoo Lee, Steiny, as much as you might want him to be a fourth outfielder, he's making 22.8. followed by 22.8, 21.3, and 21.3. So I don't know if you are willing to spend that kind of money on a fourth outfielder if you're one of the various Johnsons until he shows you another year that he's not good enough to be a legitimate guy.
They also made him the key to their marketing arm. I mean, that'll probably change coming up next year. This is prior to Rafi Devers being on the field, but I mean, they built their entire marketing structure the last 2 years around Jung-Hoo Lee.
I also look at it like, funny, okay, who's the Giants' best outfielder?
Best overall outfielder?
Yeah, almost.
Right.
Probably Jung-Hoo Lee.
No, stop.
He can actually play defense.
One made an all-star
Ramos,
team.
Elliot Ramos needs a red and white stripe cane in the outfield. He is awful.
Just let's just, for the sake of argument, say it's Ramos.
Here, okay, you? Fine.
So
who wins above replacement? Jung-Hoo Lee versus Elliot Ramos. Who do you think it is?
Well, he's been so bad this year in the field that...
Yeah.
Well, what do you think? I'll pull it up.
Probably
you
had Ramos.
I thought you were at least...
It's Ramos, but it's close.
Yeah, I got to say Ramos.
Okay. Jung-Hoo Lee is 1.8, and Elliot Ramos is 1.2.
Yeah.
Oh, there you have it.
Jung-Hoo Lee.
And score one for the Dipper.
And he's the better player.
Yeah. It's not like that.
But one's made an all-star team. I know you don't care.
It's not like that's going to ruin my point. There you have it. If you're telling me that Jung-Hoo Lee is your best outfielder, then compare him to every
other. But that's
what
the numbers say.
But compare, okay.
My eyes tell me something.
You're 1-2 or Ramos, Lee, Lee Ramos. Now go, to every other team's best two outfielders. And, like, I think if, like, we could get 2 years down the road and we realize Ramos isn't good enough. He just happened to be the best outfielder right now when their outfield was kind of weak.
Well, their offense is, quote, kind of weak. They're 23rd in baseball in OPS. They're below 700. So if you get a full year of Adamas, Chapman, and Devers being as good as they normally are, well, then you can kind of get away with having Jung-Hoo Lee be subpar offensively. Elliot Ramos offensively has been good, but defensively, he's a nightmare.
That's why that war is not where it's at.
Right, and so, I mean, there are different ways to go about being a, quote, good team. The one thing that this team didn't do that they need to do going forward is be consistent. The defense was bad. The base running is bad. And the bullpen was good until you gutted it.
And putting the ball in play.
Right. And you don't do that situationally. You strike out too much and all the rest of it.
We threw this to the callers, but you and Willard, I'm curious to hear. What letter grade would you give Adamas for his season?
That's a B-. It's a solid B-.
Willie Adamas. Love that. Willie Adamas. I mean, I'm looking at his numbers right here. There's a lot to be said beyond the numbers for Adamas.
Am I giving him too much credit, Willard, for getting out the hole that he dug?
Did he really get out of it?
What grade did you give him?
B-. B minus.
Oh, I don't.
Which is really an A to where he was at.
I don't think that's too low at all. I was actually thinking B, just because I give someone a little grace for their first 2 months when they change teams.
So Devers, that's for sure.
That's a lot. Yeah. I know nobody out in sports fan world wants to ever give anybody any grace when someone's giving them hundreds of millions of dollars. They're like, bleep you, gussy up, get yourself out there and hit the ball hard. But it's a lot of mental pressure, I would think.
Dibs kept saying that about Devers, and I would be listening is it really? But
it was clearly weighing on him. He had no protection in the lineup, and then he got protection in the lineup, and he started playing much better baseball. His defense also got a lot better.
A lot better.
Yeah.
And if you want to be fair about Willie Adamas, he's only making 13.1
this year.
Exactly. So, and we do this with Brock Purdy. Oh, he's making 53. No, he's not. No, he's not. Jordan Poole never made 27 with the Warriors. They signed him to that. Wow. But by the time he was ready to earn that chicken, he got dealt. Willie Adamas next year, you know what he's making? 13.1.
Next year?
Yeah. Mm. And then he goes 31, 31, 31, 31, 31.
Wow,
so
man.
If you want to judge him against his contract, you have to be honest with yourself, people, about what he's actually making. He's only making 13. So this year, with a war of 3 point whatever, and they say that every win above replacement is worth $8 million. This year he was worth $24 million. He way out-earned his contract, my friends.
Can you guys guess of his 28 homers, sorry, how many were solo dolo?
Probably 16.
Give it to
You're
us
listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in the city. And yes, this, and when I brought this stat up, I said this is not all on Willy Adames, but 21 of his 28 homers are solo. 21,
yeah.
Damn!
Solo.
Damn.
And you know what? Then there were six that were two-run homers. So he only had one three-run homer.
I was there for it. What? It happened just a couple of weeks ago.
Padres?
No, it was...
That's a stat.
I don't remember who the hell they were playing, but he hit a three-run homer in the first inning.
So we he just got one late.
Like, yeah, we just got... It was first inning, three-run bomb.
Wait, wait, so you're saying it was a week or two ago?
A couple, three weeks ago.
Okay, so you're saying that he went 80% of the season with more, only hitting a solo or two-run.
Correct. Yeah.
Led the team in RBI. So, and that's always one where... Is that his fault that
no,
he
I'm not saying
to? I know you're not saying that. The other one for me is a stat that I like to look at, and it's really hard to find. It's how many of your home runs came when you were down by 5 runs? Like the who gives a bleep home run where you're down 8-2 in the ninth, and yeah, swing and a drive. Adios, pelota. Great, it's 8-3. Let's drink.
I had a Yankee friend, Yankee Mario. He said that about A-Rod. He's a 5-5 guy. I go, what the hell is that? He hits his home runs when we're up 5 or down 5. Yeah. I was like, that's a little harsh, but that's how he sees it. That's
it's super
what
harsh, especially when you're talking about doing what they do, where Adames has 28 home runs. I thought he might get to 30
and end this long reign of terror.
He still can. He's allowed to. But, you know, it's not as easy as, okay, it's a clutch spot. I'm going to hit a home run now. You're trying to hit 99 miles an hour with movement. Sometimes the situation is, you know, not as much as an import as it is. You're just trying to hit the ball, right?
Yeah. We've been having fun. We've been all over. We got to get the Niner thing in here. Stani was,
for sure.
We started the show with, if Mac is 80 or Brock is 80, one of those dudes are going because Martinez is not seeing the field.
Right.
Proceed with Caution was the title of the jam, but Stani's like, you ain't saving both, right, Willard?
Well,
you ain't saving both.
The first thing, because I didn't hear, okay, this is the only part of the show that I heard today, because I was on the ferry and had other things going on, but did we all, because I messed this up earlier this week too, did we all get to a spot where we're now actually calling Martinez by his correct name? Because I called him Adrian Gonzalez.
A couple times.
It's Adrian Martinez, but then I'm listening this morning, and you called him like Aaron Martinez or like some other, and I'm like,
I didn't even pick up.
I'm like, if you're going to advocate that he play this weekend, can you at least use his name?
I think I called him Aiden Martinez.
Yeah,
earlier
it could
this
be
week.
An Aiden, whatever. Yeah. Anybody have some A names out there?
But he will not play.
Do you think Kyle Shanahan even knows his name?
Probably not. But I always
questionable.
Well, we're gonna go with Andrew Martinez.
This might be an annoying way to answer the question. I never know what that means if a guy's 80%.
Thank you.
What does that mean?
I do too.
That he's going to go out there and play.
Well, right, but like, what? I don't know how we like throw these percentages out. He's 80%.
Well,
like,
you're hampered a little, but you're not. What did Lowe say? Are you hurt or are you injured?
Right? All I want to know is, are you hampered enough to where you are now hurting the team? Are you less effective than the next guy?
Right.
But if you're cleared by doctors and you're more effective than the other guy, you play.
Yeah.
You play. I always dismiss this idea. I've heard people do it for months leading up to the season. I've heard callers on your show do it today. This idea that, like, it's all good if you go 3-1. This game is like, you're up 3-0. You got November. Stop. You got this. No. It's a damn football game, and it's urgent.
With another one in 4 days.
It's a must.
Yep.
But all of them. All of them.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's why the way I look at injuries is if they don't play, then they're hurt.
Yeah.
If they do play, then they're healthy. So, like, I look at it from the back end. Not should they play or shouldn't they play. I have no idea. The only thing I can do is rely on the team. If they put him out there, they think he's healthy enough. If they don't, he's not healthy enough.
But what led you to Martinez being... Because you talked about putting him out there.
Because if both Mac Jones and Purdy are debilitated to a point where they think they're too hurt, we got to go with Martinez.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
And again, I have no intel, shocker, but I don't think both injuries, like one happened 3 weeks ago, so Brock's on his way back, whenever that is, or maybe he needs longer. And Mac didn't get pulled out the game.
Brock didn't get pulled out of the game, right?
That's different.
When you're in the second half of a close football game, and who knows what you even said to the coach, to the sideline. I mean, Mac, I think, got hurt on that drive.
Right.
And then, you know, like, you could see that he was hurt.
But, Will, what part of you and Dibs right now think, Mark, it would be on brand for Martinez to go out there and somebody's
like, for God's sakes.
But in my mind, I'm like, there's no way he's starting that
game. Chance.
I wouldn't
there's
think
no
so.
Chance.
Okay, no, and that's what
the 49ers have certainly insinuated that Brock Purdy will be ready to go this week.
And I believe that if Brock was not close last week and then Mac got significantly hurt on Sunday, they would have done more between then and now to bring somebody else in. I don't think that they're looking at Adrian Martinez like, you know what? Your QB 2.1.
We had a caller allude to that.
If they really had doubt about Brock or Mac, they would have brought in whomever is out there to come in and start.
The only thing that I think comes into play with regard to the calendar, I never would think, oh, you don't need this game, so let's save you for later, because what the hell does saving you for later do? You get hurt on the next play. But I do think that, like, if you get to one-and-done scenarios, like if last week were a playoff game, does Brock play? Probably. Probably.
I got you.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But, yeah, I'm with you, Stiney.
No, I think that's fair.
Yeah, the doctors say what the doctors say, and... off we go.
The interesting one for me is if Mac, and I'm going to play percentages just because you brought it up, but if Mac is at 80 and Brock is at 60, like, what do you do then?
No, Mac's going.
I mean, what if it's 80-70? You know,
and what if it's 88 to 67?
I do think
that you got to protect
Well, who came with a 74? What if he's 74?
We do analytics.
We do.
Doctor analytics. He's a 74.2.
The guy right now is Brock Purdy.
Probably.
This is his show.
Probably.
So if we can let you get as much time as you need, I'll go with Mac Jones.
But you don't protect anyone, and this is where, Steiny, I was listening on my way to Bart about the idea of McCaffrey and his touches. Yeah. You don't know that if on touch 83 he falls apart, or if it's 144 or 217 or 339.
Correct.
If he's healthy, he plays.
Right.
And you don't look at the numbers. Yeah.
But all I'm saying is...
He's
extrapolated to have 433 touches.
That sounds like a lot.
Yes, so I just said... Can we all agree something will have to change?
No, I don't agree with that.
Really, like
you think he would break the 400?
Saquon Barkley last year, 378.
And he
missed the last
game.
He missed it because they already were all
sewn up. What I'm saying is he could have gotten to 400.
Right, and so he didn't fall apart. Yep. And this year he hasn't gotten hurt yet. He may not be as effective.
Well,
so there's no rule of, all right, you know, 381, and that's when your whole body blows up.
No, I get that, but...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I got to believe if he's carrying 25 times a game, it would be one of the highest usage rates in
years.
Well, right? I don't want to pick any scabs, but we asked Joe Thomas about this yesterday, Steiny.
Okay.
I hope it's okay with you. And his answer was interesting.
Was like, that the 2-hour, 2-minute and 42-second response? That was unreal.
I don't think it was. I think This was one of the ones where I took the under. But anyway, what Joe basically said was that's a weekly conversation that happens between the player and the coach in terms of like how your body is feeling. Does this mean if you like Kristen's healthy now, and if you keep pushing him, does it mean that there might be almost a de facto load management thing for 1 week that happens later in the season? Maybe, but you have a bye week, you have a mini bye week coming off of the Thursday game.
New Orleans was like it wasn't.
I also think
manage it, but they're also always in pain. Like that was Joe said. Did you hear him say that he had to scoot down the stairs on his butt?
No, I turned it off.
Couldn't walk down the stairs.
It's a cold game.
Yeah, I get it. I didn't mean to.
Joe Thomas, by the way, next time you talk to him, winning percentage of 300, 48-112.
Poor guy. Damn.
He's one of the all-time greats to never appear in a playoff game.
Oh, that's got to
Calvin
stink.
Johnson and Cortez Kennedy and Orenthal Simpson.
Also, did Joe ever miss a game?
His last year, he got hurt, and that was it.
Okay.
He played five games.
OJ never made the offs?
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's crazy.
Yeah, Joe DeLamelure, Barry Sanders, Archie Manning, all among Hall of Famers who never got to the offs.
By the way, I don't think Arch Manning's going to ever play in the playoffs either.
Wow. Might not play in the league.
It ain't looking that good.
Before I go.
We got a meeting, bud.
I want to congratulate you guys on getting just an absolutely phenomenal nugget from Greg Cosell that he played hoops at Amherst.
We had a ball with
pretty
it
good
this morning.
That,
6'4".
He
I always
shoot
see
now.
Him sitting down.
He can shoot.
How old do you think he is?
Greg?
Yeah.
He's older than us.
I think Greg.
Yeah.
I don't think Greg has had his 70th birthday yet.
No.
He's still young.
Yeah.
But he hoops.
67. What is it?
Yeah, Amherst did not have a good program back in 75.
Did you look it up?
No.
Oh. How old do you think he is?
I have no idea.
Google says he was born in 1956.
He's 69.
So he was good.
He's about to have a 70th birthday.
Amherst might not have even been Division III back then. Might have been like one of those NAIA.
He was hooping.
It's a weird Wikipedia deal. They usually give you the birthday.
Yeah.
With Greg, they just give him the year.
I saw that.
You can ask him next Wednesday.
He has had his birthday already this year. So he, at some point next year, he will turn 70. And we will celebrate him.
Man. I'll try and find some box scores for you, Steiny, for tomorrow. Some Greg Cosell. Sweet. And you know, back in the day, they weren't box scores. They were line scores. Where
they could be.
How many field goals, what the free throws were, and the total points.
Dibs, 3-3-9.
That's it. You had 9 points. That's right.
Hey, before you guys leave, do you have anything you want to say about the rebirth of talks with the Sacramento Kings? Anything? Sam Amick?
Yeah. Sam's my guy.
We're tabling that for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, you don't need.
But wink, wink, Willard. He'll be a warrior. He ain't going.
I'll make one. There's no doubt. You're so stuck to your desires.
Oh my God!
I'll make one prediction.
No, they need him, and he'll be here for one more.
The Sacramento kit, whatever the offer is with this protected pick, they will not take those protections off.
Will they move them? Still protected.
My
but
sources
not as
say.
Protected.
I don't think so.
Hmm. Okay.
On 95.7.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The game.
All right.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him. And they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.